This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Shiroma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Consider Your Ways, was delivered on September 15th, 2019. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Genesis. Genesis, faith, right? Your middle name. Because Genesis has faith. Thank you so much. You did such a wonderful job. Go ahead, ushers. Good morning, New Hope. Yes, it's a beautiful morning. If you have your Bibles, how many of you have your Bibles? Hold them up. Oh, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. How many of you have your iPads or your iPhones? All right. Okay, can you open your Bibles? Okay, get it to the book of Haggai. Huh? Yes. It's in the Old Testament between Zephaniah and Zechariah. And if you notice the date on your bulletins, okay, it's not a misprint. This was the message that I had prepared for last month. I had it all ready. I wasn't lying to you when I said I had it ready. But that's when Kahumakuakane said, I can come and speak. And of course, I wouldn't turn him down, so I just had to shelf this message until today. And I left it there because I already had it printed, and I didn't want to waste paper, and I wanted to show you that I wasn't lying, that I had my message ready. Yeah. Right? Because we all know pastors don't lie, right? Not they do, you know. Sometimes, you know, when we go to pastors' meetings, and we talk about our church. Oh, yeah, how was your church? Oh, yeah, great. We had like 500 people in church today, and we had like 299 salvations. No, not. We don't do that. Just kidding. All right, so you guys got it. You guys in Haggai? Or you guys just lost, clueless of, you never even know that was a book in the Bible. So it's one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament whom little is known about, but he has a great message for us. A little background in this book. Okay? The Israelites, they were in captivity for 70 years. I mean, anybody here 70 years old? No, okay, no, raise your hand. I don't want. Okay, imagine being in captivity for 70 years. Why was they in captivity? Because they started worshiping idols, they forgot God, they forgot about all the good things. So God says, okay, well, I'm going to have the Babylonians take him into captivity. No, so they were in captivity for 70 years, and now the Persians, they take over, they invade, I guess, and they take over. And now instead of Nebuchadnezzar, there's King Cyrus. And King Cyrus, he allows them to go back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Zerubbabel and the spiritual guidance of Joshua, the high priest. Now, when the Jews were taken captive, they wasn't taken captive all at one time. There were like three bunches of times when they were taken captive. One of them was they took them captive and they settled them by the river Chebar, and they settled there, and they were like colonists in that place, and they were free to lead normal lives as long as they remained politically loyal to Babylon, to the Babylonian government. A lot of them in that time came wealthy, and even when they were allowed to return, some of them stayed, and some of them. Some of those people who were taken captive included Daniel. And if you're reading Daniel, Daniel is a very interesting book. And I would encourage you to read about that. And then I think it was like later on 10,000 captives, including the prophet Ezekiel. And then the final bunch was led away. And then, you know, there was like, I'm not sure, it depends on who you read and how you interpret it. Some say up to maybe 40, 50,000, because back when they numbered the people who were taken captive, they would normally only number the men, and that they didn't number the women and children. I don't know why, but that's how it is. So you kind of like can look at that number. You can kind of double it or triple it. And so King Cyrus said, okay, I'll let you guys go back. And these are your leaders. And not all of them returned. You know, and some people say, why, you know, if you were taken away from your homeland and you know, held in captivity for 70 years and says, okay, you can go back. But, I mean, if somebody took me from Hawaii and took me to Alaska or Antarctica and said, okay, you can go back, I would be running back here. But not all of them went back. And some people say, well, why not? Well, some of them may have been really old, because if you were taken captive at 20 years old and 70 years, you'd be 90. You wouldn't want to travel at 90. Some of them may have been born in captivity and they wouldn't know what home was like. That was their home. Some of them, they say, started businesses and they were making a lot of money and they were enjoying that pagan lifestyle. So they didn't want to go back. And they returned, when those who did return to Jerusalem, they said, wow. Because if you recall, and if you may not know, but when Nebuchadnezzar invaded them, he actually burned down the temple that they had built. He burned it, destroyed it, took all the gold and everything as plunder. And it was an important thing for them. And then when they returned, they wanted to rebuild the temple. And they started to work on it. And they had people opposing them. And then they were concerned about, you know, if you come back home, think like, wow, where am I going to live? I got to go rebuild my house. So they started rebuilding their house. Then they said, oh, I got to find a job, because how am I going to survive? So they started starting businesses. And they were living that way for quite some time. They say 16 to 18 years they were living back home, but they were kind of distracted. And God sent the prophet Haggai to speak to them. So Haggai and Zechariah was sent by God to kind of stir up the people to not only to rebuild the temple, but to get their spiritual lives in order. And Haggai motivated the people by noting that the drought, the crop failures during that time were a result of their misplaced spiritual priorities. And so if you're experiencing some of this in your life, you know, in your relational, in your health, in your finance, in your work, let's take a look at Haggai 1, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, thus says the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You have sown much, but harvest little. You eat, but there is not enough to be satisfied. You drink, but there is not enough to become drunk. And I said, wait a minute. And so this is the New American Standard Version. Every other version does not use the word drunk. Maybe it was a bad version that I chose. Forgive me. But some says you drink, but you still thirst. Some of you work and you drink water, you're still thirsty. Yeah, some of you eat dinner and you're still hungry. Not nobody. I mean, sometimes there were some days where I eat, and I'm still hungry in my younger days. You put on clothing, but no one is warm enough. He who earns wages to put it in a purse with holes. Some verses say you earn your money and you put it into your pockets that have holes. And then what happens? It all falls away. During these years, the people were building homes for themselves. They planted fields, laid out vineyards. They spent much of their funds committed to themselves for construction of the temple. But they didn't. And thus they did not prosper despite all the work that they did. They had permitted the opposition to divert them from their commitment to God. And their initial enthusiasm when they came back had drained from their hearts. So the temple, what was the temple? Well, back then, when when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it, the temple kind of like represent God's presence in their community. And when Nebuchadnezzar destroyed it, they felt like God's presence has left. So they went, let's rebuild it so that we can have it back. The problem was confused priorities. You know, sometimes if you think about it, you know, sometimes how many of you read the Old Testament and you think, oh, these dummies, why don't they just listen? If you read the Old Testament, it's like they sin, they get beat up, they get captive, they figure out why, they find God, they repent, only to repeat the cycle again. And sometimes that you read that and you read that and you're thinking like, oh, these guys just don't get it. And I keep saying that. I say, oh, these guys just, forgive me, but these guys are just a bunch of knuckleheads. And then I look in the mirror and it's like, oh my gosh, you are just describing yourself to the T. And, you know, and that's how God gets me. It's like, I think about what they do, and I look in the mirror, it's like, you're no different. When you drive, you are knucklehead. And it's like, well, I cannot argue with God. So they wanted to rebuild the temple, but they got distracted. Look at Haggai 1:9. You look for much, but behold, it comes to little. When you bring it home, I blow it away. Why, declares the Lord of hosts? Because my house, which lies desolate, while each of you runs to his own house. Problem, confused priorities. Like Judah, our priorities might involve occupation, family, God's work, are often confused. Yeah? And sometimes, you know, we think about our jobs, our homes, our vacation, our leisure time, and we put them higher on the list of importance than God. What is most important to you? Where is God on your list of priorities? 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own? So, you know, we don't have the temple now because our bodies is the temple and the Holy Spirit dwells in us. Yeah. In 2 Corinthians 13:5, Paul tells us to this, examine yourselves, to test yourself to see if you are in the faith. Examine yourselves, or do you not recognize this about yourself, that Christ is in you, unless you fail the test. See, Paul was telling the Corinthians, examine yourself. You know, just like when you take your car to the mechanic, he tells you that you need new brakes before you don't have any brakes. It's like for me, I went to the doctor this week to check my blood work, and my blood pressure was good, my sugar and stuff was under control, and then my bad cholesterol was down, my good cholesterol was up, so it's getting better, thanks to you guys not bringing me cookies every week, even though I beg you for it. You know, I'm really glad that you haven't, but Norman gave me cake this morning. Thank you, Norman. I was so happy. But like always, the doctor tells me, aerobic exercise every day of the week. And I go, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like I tell you, read your Bibles. And you go, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. And like, yeah, yeah. Put your Bible, put them on the shelf, and then check it out the following Sunday, bring it back. But, you know, we gotta test ourselves every so often, check on ourselves, just like we check our car and everything else. You know, our Christian lives, we need to know where we are through self-examination. Yeah, and, you know, we can look at it from our own opinion, say, yeah, I'm good. But we got to examine ourselves with the scripture. And we cannot examine ourselves according to how we look at it, or I cannot examine myself according to somebody else and say, look, oh, I am good. I'm in church every week. And they don't. So I'm good compared to them. But I cannot measure myself by somebody else, right? Because if I did, then I would always look good. Except for when I stand next to Grant or something, then sorry, I'm short. But Paul tells us we gotta do that. So in the book, in the prophet Haggai, his time, King Cyrus of Persia allows the captives to return home. Some go, some don't. And then they get back to their home and say, hey, let's rebuild the temple. Let's bring this presence of God back here so we can worship the Lord. So they say, yes, let's go. So they start rebuilding the foundation. And then they get opposition. People don't want them to rebuild the temple. Some Jews, some foreigners, they get them to think. So instead of finishing up the temple, they go and rebuild their houses, which is important. They abandoned the rebuilding for like maybe 16 to 18 years. They abandoned, and then the Lord sends Haggai and Zechariah. So to kind of like, hey guys, let's go. Let's go. Let's get this project going. Come on, it's been so long since we started this rebuilding of the temple. And here's what we can learn. Number one, excuses. They made excuses. In Haggai 1:2, thus says the Lord of hosts, the people says, the time has not come, even the time for the house of the Lord to be rebuilt. They made excuses as why they couldn't do the Lord's work. How many of you made excuses as to why you cannot serve God? I made excuses. And every time I think of making excuses, I think about this other guy in Exodus 4:14. Then the anger of the Lord burned against Moses. And he said, is there not your brother Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. And moreover, behold, he is coming out to meet you. When he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. And every time I think about making excuses, I think about the Lord's anger burning against me because I made so many excuses why I cannot speak in front of people. I was terrified. I didn't want to speak in front of people. I flunked speech in my first semester in high school in 11th grade because I was too terrified to get up in front of people. So I made excuses. And then when I read the Bible and I read that the anger of the Lord burned against Moses, I did not want that to happen to me. How many of you would want the anger of the Lord burning against you? Anybody? Raise your hand. Anybody? Nobody. All right, so if God calls you to do something, what are you going to do? You're going to do it. Or you're going to have the anger of the Lord burn against you. And if you're going to have that, make sure I'm not standing next to you. Maybe the anger of the Lord is burning. Maybe that's why you guys are so hot. Think about it. What have you been called to do and you're not doing? Who? Oh, ouch, yeah? Okay, so we can make excuses to distractions. Haggai 1:4, is it time for you yourself to dwell in your panel houses while this house lies desolate? What is distracting you from doing God's work? Is it, like for me, it was my shyness. I don't know if it was lack of boldness. More, I think I was shy or afraid. And when you read the Bible in Timothy, God says, I did not give you the spirit of fear or timidity. Yes, tell me that when I'm confronted with a 10-inch wide cane spider. Whew! Really? You did not give me the spirit of fear, then why am I so scared of spiders? Maybe it comes from the devil. Maybe you're afraid of lizards. Huh? Distractions. What is distracting you? Is it fear or is it lack of boldness? Is it doubt? Is it lack of faith? Is it people or things? Sometimes, you know, this is my thinking and it may be wrong, but the way I think, if I put many things before God, God could easily like remove it. And sometimes you think, maybe that's why my fishing pole broke when I was fishing. Maybe I was like, yes, I get my putting my fishing before God. But if you think about it, if you put people or things before God, he can easily say, oh, I'll just remove it and, you know, move that one. Then, you know, you get closer to God and move that one, move that one. And I would hate for God to remove things from your life in order to get you closer to God. I would hate for God to remove stuff that is distracting you from God. I would rather you get this message now and automatically move the things out of the way so that God can have first place in your life. And if your fishing poles or your power tools are distracting you from God, just give them to me. I'll help you out in that area. I mean, if your food is distracting you from God, just bring it my way. I'll help you out. Or your nice car, is it like, oh, this is my baby. Man, I'll, you know, take it off your hands to keep that distraction from you. Yeah? Sounds good? Hey, if your kids are distracting you. Let me ask my wife first, but yeah, I'll take them. My wife understands that she takes second place to God. She has to, because it's God first, and then my wife, then my children. I don't want to put things before God because he might just say, thank you, I'll take them. Here's the thing. Do I place God and his work above my wants and my desires? I mean, there was, after my daughter got married in July, I really, 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 really wanted to go fishing in the worst way, because it has been like 3 months since I've been fishing, and I really had the desire to go fishing. And I had planned a fishing trip for myself to just go relax and enjoy. And then someone calls me up to do a funeral. And I said, no problem, done. Fishing is off to the side, I didn't even second guess it, because I knew what was my priorities, what I needed to do. So here's some questions to think about. What do I want most? Money. What do I think about most? Money. What do I use my money for? Money. How do I use my leisure time? Whose company do I enjoy? Whom do I admire? What do I laugh at? What do I want most for me? What do I want most? I want to get people saved in the worst possible way. I do. I want to get them saved, get them discipled. What do I think about most? It's like, how can I get them saved? I really want to get people saved. How do I use my money? My first 10% goes to my tithes, and I give some money as offerings for missions. I use it for many other things, to fix my house, to help people do things. Whose company do I enjoy? Man, I enjoy your company. Yesterday, we had 30 of us guys here at Men's Ministry, and I truly enjoy those mornings. Whom and what do I admire? You know, I admire some of our guys, our biblical teachers who went before us. What do I laugh at? I laugh at myself and sometimes how knuckleheaded and how I can be. And I really do laugh at myself, because I make fun of the people in the Bible. But when I come down to the bottom line, I think I'm no better than them, just as bad. Think about, do my answers to these questions, is that questions on the bulletin? Yeah. Think about your answers. Do they honor God? Really seriously consider your ways. Do my answers really honor God? Or is there things I need to really, really consider and make some adjustments? You know, am I making excuses? Am I being distracted? See, Haggai's message to the people sought to get their priorities straight, to help them quit worrying and motivate them to rebuild the temple. Sometimes we place higher priority on our personal comfort than God's work and true worship. But I believe God is pleased and promises strength and guidance when we choose to give Him first place in our lives. And I believe that if we can, you know what, and it's so much easier said than done. Believe me, I have things out of order, and it's a work in progress. And I think it'll be a work in progress until the day I die. You know, I am no different from any of you. I stumble, I label people, I sin, I call people names, you know that, when I drive, and hopefully you're not in front of me. Yeah, and sometimes I gotta look in the mirror, and I gotta look at this book that this message that he has, and I gotta, Scott, you better consider your ways. Consider it. Sometimes I get selfish. I'm human. I'm just like you. Amen. Consider. You put it in your notes. I'm gonna ask the worship team to come up. I'm gonna ask you to bow your heads and consider your ways. Consider accepting Jesus if you haven't accepted Jesus. Consider what adjustments you have to make. Not have to, because you don't have to do anything, but you get to do them, right? But consider your ways. Consider asking Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. Getting your name written in the book of life so that on the great white throne judgment, your name will be found in that book of life. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? And I would ask that you would pray this prayer with me. It goes like this. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins and I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? Anybody else out there? God bless you over there. Anybody else? God bless you back there. Anybody in the back, way in the back? You may put your hands down. Lord, you have seen the hands. And your word says, all heaven rejoices for one person who repents. And we know there's a celebration in heaven now because of those who have considered their ways and said yes to you. So, Lord, I pray that you would fill them and that as you guide them, Lord, we could help them in their walk with you. Thank you so much for this day that you have made that we can rejoice and be glad, even if it's hot, Lord, that the joy of the Lord be our strength. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Give the Lord thanks. Thank you, Jesus. So would you stand? Stand. And if you want to jump around, and you want to raise your hands in worship to the Lord, you want to clap to worship the Lord, do so and sing with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Amen. Take it away, worship team.
You've been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Keau, Hawaii. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.